Our series on the sin of slander. The sin of slander. We're actually doing a verse-by-verse study of the book of James. We're in the fourth chapter, and we're going to review our foundation text beginning with verse 11. Verses 11 and 12. James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12. As we focus in on the sin of slander. This is just yet another thing that the saints of God were doing, along with the quarreling and fighting in verse 1 and conflicts and desiring to get things to use upon their own lust and consume. They were very, very selfish, and it was causing a lot of havoc in the church. And so James, the Lord had to move on James and send a letter to excoriate them of their behavior. Look at verse 11. Do not speak against one another, brothers. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. There is only one lawgiver and judge. Amen?
Amen.
The one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you who judge your neighbor? Now, we've gone over this in the last few weeks here. Again, verse 11, do not speak against. That's the word katalaleo in the Greek. And again, it means to slander. Refers to mindless, thoughtless, careless, critical, derogatory, untrue speech directed against others. It's not a pretty word at all. It is sometimes used as backbiting, to talk behind the backs of others without giving them a chance to defend themselves. It's not a nice word. We went a little bit further there. It says, do not speak against one another, and then you see brethren, brother, brother, three times mentioned. That is by design. We are family.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And so we are to get along together as family. And this was not proper behavior within a family.
Amen.
We are members one of another. We are to love and support and protect one another. Amen. And not slander and speak evil against one another. That is very divisive or divisive. And so since we are viewed as believers, remember believers, as believers, we're chosen by God. We've been honored by God. Christ died for us. The same blood that was shed for me was shed for you, was shed for the next brother, red, brown, yellow, black, or white. And as being honored by God and chosen by God and Christ having died for us, we ought to seek to love and honor those with whom or for whom Christ has died. They are our brothers and sisters. So he mentions brothers three times. So then he goes on to say in verse 11, he who speaks against or slanders a brother or judges his brother, there it is, brother, brother, speaks against the law and judges the law. So when you speak against or slander a brother, you're judging the brother. The word judge again means, by way of review, means to condemn, criticize harshly, rashly, and unjustly. It refers to forming a judgment hastily. We're guilty of that. Quick judgment. We see something externally and run and tell everybody, and after we see what they fully did, we're like, oh. Then followed by, oops. It's a little late then. You already didn't put it out there. Because remember, it refers to criticizing harshly, rashly, and unjustly. It refers to forming a judgment hastily, harshly, and without an allowance for giving the benefit of the doubt. Look at this, doesn't finish up. And of expressing, see, that's us telling it, and of expressing such an opinion harshly and unnecessarily when formed. When you form it, you go out and tell everybody. That's where the oops comes in.
Oh, that's what they were doing. I thought they were.
Because that's not love. And that's not love of our brothers and sisters.
Amen.
We are family.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit chose to go to speak through James 3 times in 2 sentences. Brother, brother, brother.
Amen.
That's by design.
Amen.
Remember the word of God says we are members one of another. That's strong language. We're connected.
Amen.
We must remember that. And the word of God really just lets us know. You know, we said last time in the commentary that we're going to be slandered by the world. But it is doubly offensive when it comes from within. Because if anybody ought to give anyone the benefit of the doubt, it ought to be the people of God, giving the people of God the benefit of the doubt.
Amen.
My Lord, you don't need me slandering you when you've got stuff going over there in the den of iniquity. Works at your realm. Help her today. Pray for her tomorrow. She doesn't need me slamming her when she's got to face all of that.
No, Lord.
No, Lord. Yes, the Holy Spirit is speaking strong through James, but that's a word for us today. Watch our mouths, especially concerning the people of God.
Amen.
Touch not mine anointed. Do that prophet no harm. Well, I'm a dead prophet or not. Well, I ain't going to try to find out. Just treat them right. Touch not mine anointed. Shut your mouth. Remember we said something else in the commentary, and that is the way to shut down that sin of slander, which is so easily committed because we have control over our tongues. We can speak it any time.
Yeah.
Way to shut it down is not to say anything. That's not the way to shut it down. Remember, we talked about that. It's to check your mind because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you fix this, you'll fix the sin of slander.
Amen.
The battlefield is in the mind. All right, let's keep reading. Still verse 11, going through verse 11 again. So if you speak against the brother, you're judging that brother. You're criticizing harshly that brother. You're forming opinions hastily and rashly without giving benefit of the doubt. He said you speak against them and you're judging them. And when you do that, you speak against the law, you slander the law, and judge the law. Whose law is it? Wow, we're judging the law? Oh, wait a minute, what does judge mean again? To condemn, to criticize harshly and unjustly the law of God? That's what it says here in the word. You speak against the law and judge the law. Now, we began last week talking about that the law is embodied and summarized in the Ten Commandments. Now, there are over 800 laws, but they can be summarized in the Ten Commandments. And Jesus even further summarized those Ten Commandments with 2 commandments. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That takes care of commandments 1 through 4. And then love your neighbor as yourself takes care of commandments 5 through 10. He said, on these 2 hang all the law and the prophets. So this law is the law of God that we slander, and it's something. If I slander you, I don't just slander you. I slander God and his law. That's why each and every brother and sister in Christ Jesus is worthy of the utmost respect, dignity, and honor. Because they belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we began to go to talk about the law, which is embodied in the Ten Commandments. So let's go back to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. We're going to kind of do a summary review of the Ten Commandments. And we said last week that the Ten Commandments reveal what? Anybody remember? 10 features of love. Each commandment reveals a facet, a feature, an attribute, a characteristic of love. Remember, love is a verb, biblically speaking. Let us not love in word, right? But in deed, action, and in truth. Love is a verb. It's action. Verse 3, the first commandment, you should have no other gods before me. So in that one, the facet or attribute or characteristic of love in that one is love is not fickle, but single-minded, devoted, and loyal. That's what God wants from us, our loyalty. We ought to be single-minded, single-visioned, if you will. We ought to pledge allegiance to him. Amen. You'll have no other God before me. In this day and age, gods pop up in any way, shape, or form. Status, cars, money, social media, movies, a movie star, other individuals, any, your wife that you love with all your heart. I love my wife with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. But I can't put her above God.
Amen.
And I have to literally watch, I love her so much, I have to sometimes watch myself, Mr. Arlene, that I don't put her above God. Holy Spirit got to keep me in check. Because he'll take good, the devil will, and pervert it. Even good things he'll take and pervert. And so I have to watch myself that my love is not stronger for her than it is for the Lord. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Love is loyal, it's devoted. It's not fickle. Verse 4, second commandment, you shall not make to yourselves an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the water under the earth. Shall not make for yourselves an idol or any likeness that pertains to the Lord. In other words, no idols. Second thing then is love is not only loyal in attitude, but it is faithful in practice. Love is faithful. That's loyalty in action. Faithful. Let's skip down to verse 7 for the third commandment. If I'm going too fast, let me know. Chris's sister, Carolyn, used to write in shorthand. I was so jealous of her. She knew how to just could do that thing, man. That's how you do it. She could take notes. She's like, waiting on you. You done said 4 paragraphs, and she's still waiting. She's waiting on me. She knew how to do it. But I know we all write in longhand, so if I go too fast, slow me down. All right, skip to verse 7. Third commandment, you should not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. You can almost guess that when love is respectful toward its object. So it's love is devoted and loyal. Love is faithful and love is respectful. You can already see why that would eliminate slander. And we just got just 3 facets or aspects or attributes of love. You ready for the fourth one? My note takers, okay? Verse 8, fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Well, what is that? Love is intimate with or devoted to the Lord. Love is intimate. Keep it holy and devoted to the Lord or to its object, whether it's the Lord or to a brother or sister in Christ Jesus. So let's go over the attributes again. Love is loyal. Love is faithful. Love is respectful. And love is intimate. Let's skip down to verse 12 of Exodus chapter 20. Verse 12. The fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Let me sidestep for a moment. It's no wonder that the young people are dying at 20, 18, 16, 15, extremely disrespectful to their parents. Extremely. We think God is just joking. He attached this. As a matter of fact, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, honor your mother and father, for this is the first commandment with a promise. Verse 2. Verse 1. Obey. Children, obey your parents and Lord, for this is right. Verse 2. Honor. Remember, obey is external. Right? Honor is internal. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, if I tell Brooke or Brianna, go to your room, go and clean your room, and they stomp off, you know, but they go do it, they obeyed, but they didn't honor. Does that make sense?
Amen.
So when the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, to his letter to the church at Ephesus, says, obey, and then verse 2, honor, he is working on the whole person. Because I don't want you to just obey without the reverence and having a bad attitude. I want the attitude, I want the heart and the external together.
Amen.
He says, children, obey your parents and love, this is right. Ephesians 6, 2 says, honor mother and father, for this is the first commandment with the promise. Verse 3, that it may be well with that today may be well with thee, that the days may be long upon the earth. Now, if it says that your days may be long for obeying and honoring, is it safe to say that your days will be shortened if you dishonor and disobey?
Amen.
I think that's fair.
Amen.
Yeah, I'm not taking it out of context. That's fair. So I go back to, it's no wonder so many young people are dying. It's a ton dying. Let's read it again. Honor father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged on the land which the Lord your God gives you. What attribute of love does this present? Love is submissive to authority. And in this case, authority here is represented as parental authority, but it is submitted to authority. Look at verse 13. Verse 13. I want to say one, go back to verse 12 about that submission. We know that ultimately believers are to submit to God. And that's what James is saying. He said, you're slandering your brother, but when you slander your brother, you're slandering the law of God. And in that case, you're really slandering God himself. Because God and his word are one. And again, it was the word, the word was with God, and the word was God. God and his word are one. So ultimately, believers are to submit to God. And in doing so, you will submit to one another. You won't slander one another. You won't honor your parents and so forth. Look at verse 13, the sixth commandment. You shall not murder. Well, love there values others as being made in the image and likeness of God. So let's kind of go over those, the six attributes so far. Love is devoted and loyal. Love is faithful. Love is respectful. Love is intimate. Love is submissive. And love values others. It values others. And remember, in the New Testament, we talk about murder. Jesus not only didn't condemn the external, here we go again, act of murder, but he also condemned the internal root of murder, which is anger. So he condemned anger as well. And love, being respectful of others. When anger would try to rise, love is going to suppress that down by the power of the Holy Spirit. And say, hold on, have some mercy. The Lord God is merciful to you. You compassionate. Yeah, but he did that. Yeah, but what you do to God, though? Keep thinking about that. How much have we dishonored and disrespected God? And he had mercy and grace and compassion. Constantly, consistently, and continually. How many have offended God today? How many have offended God maybe in the last hour? And he's had grace and mercy and compassion. How dare we? How dare we not do that to our brothers and sisters? Love, it values others. Look at verse 14. The seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery. Love is pure and desires purity in others. That's what we try to tell the young ladies. that whenever a young boy comes around you and tries to take your virginity, that's not love. He's telling you he's not loving you. Period. Because love values you first and foremost, and secondly, it's pure, does not, and respects the purity in others. And a man of God who is doing that, who does that, shouldn't do that, because you need to understand that that's not loving. That's not love. Because you respect her purity and not try to take it. Amen. Love would never defile another person. I said love would never defile another person. Verse 15, the eighth commandment, you shall not steal. Love is unselfish. Love is content. Not going to take some from someone else. Matter of fact, love seeks to give, not to take. You got one? Here go another. Love seeks to give. Love is unselfish. The ninth commandment, verse 16. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Now, that's an easy one. Love is truthful. Love is truthful. Love would never lie, but rather that truth be known. Love is truthful. And verse 17, the 10th commandment, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant, or his female servant, or his ox, or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. It is not anything else. Don't covet his lawnmower, his car, his, how neat his grass is, or anything else. There, love is content. Love is unselfishly content. Put those two together. Unselfishly content. Love is content. What it has and wishes only the best for its neighbor. I said, love is content with what it has and wishes only the best for its neighbor.
Amen.
I'm not going to try to take the lawnmower that he go so that's what he wants. So his grass will look like he is. So if you think about it, the commandments are the aspects of love. Let's look at all 10 of them again. The first command, love is devoted. Loyal, single-minded. Second, love is loyal, is faithful rather. Third, love is respectful. Four, love is intimate. Five, love is submissive to authority. Six, love values others. Seven, love is pure and desires purity in others. Eight, love is unselfish, seeks to give, not to take. Nine, love is truthful, would never lie, but rather the truth be known. And 10, love is unselfishly content and wishes only the best for his neighbor. Look at Matthew 22. We went over it. Might as well look at it. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Matthew 22, verse 37. Here, we'll see the commandments of the law summarized, if you will. Commandments of the law are summarized in these two laws here, a command rather. Look at Matthew chapter 22, verse 37. Because they asked Jesus, what is the supreme law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Why does he just go overboard on your inwards? Why does he just go overboard? Because he wants to make clear that you are not to just love me externally, because that's not real love. Right. Remember, Jesus said, these people honor me with their what? Lips. That's external. But their what? Heart. Right. The inward is far from me. So the soul, the mind, and strength, and with all of the heart, soul and mind, and one of the others add strength. All of the inners is far from him. So he said, you know what? I'm going to make this crystal clear. If you're going to love me with all your inwards. Amen. Heart, mind, So, for this is the great and foremost premier commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the W-H-O-L-E, the whole law and the prophets. That's some law you begin to really break. When you understand what the law is, really it's a law of love if you want to look at it summer in a summary situation. It's a law of love. Because love, we just went over that, is going to be devoted to one God, no other God before me. Love doesn't steal. We just went through all of that. So you can summarize it and call it the law of love. Look at Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, verse 8. Still talking about the law that James said that we're standing in judge of and condemning. Wow. James chapter 13, verse, beginning with verse 8. I mean Romans, yes. Yes, that's what I said. Thank you, Felicity. Yes, Romans chapter 13, beginning with verse 8. Owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. That's a debt we will never pay off. Does that make sense? Amen. You may pay off a financial debt. You may pay off some sort of material debt. You know, maybe you borrowed a lawnmower and broke it, and you have to go buy them a lawnmower. Debt cleared. That you borrowed $20, give $20 back, debt cleared. You will always owe love. You will always owe love to your brothers and sisters. I will always owe love. We're going to always owe love. So owe nothing to anyone except to love one another. Because he who loves his neighbor has, look at this, fulfilled the law. Did you see that? Now, did you see that? Yes. See, he who loves his neighbor has fulfilled the whole law. You've completed, you have done the law. Why? Because the law is love. If you love your neighbor, you won't kill him. If you love him, you won't steal from him. You won't covet his wife. You won't do all the other things.
Yeah. Amen.
Because it's respectful, because it's honorable, because it's pure, it's content, and so forth. Can you see how that's linking up? Okay, look at verse 9. For this, for can be because of this. What is this? Because you love, from verse 8. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not murder. You shall not steal. You shall not covet. These goes and breaks down what the love is. And if there's any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as, wow, sounds just like what Jesus just said, as yourself. He named a few things, but the bottom line is, love your neighbor as yourself. That's the bottom line. We are to live by that commandment. And, you know, some people misquote it. Here at Word of Life, we really major on that you don't misquote it. When Jesus said, this, the golden rule, as it is hastily, not necessarily quoted, but as it is hastily recited, is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's not bad. But Jesus really brings it home, and I'm going to bring it forth in an interpretive fashion. Jesus says, the way you want to be treated, the way you desire to be treated, not the way you are being treated. Because you may be being treated terribly right now, but you want to be treated with dignity and respect. So he's saying the way you desire to be treated, the way you want to be treated, that's how you treat other people, whether you've been treated that way or not. Amen. Did you catch that? I don't know if you heard that. We need to hear that again. We're to treat others not the way we are being treated, but the way we want to be treated.
Amen.
I want to be treated with dignity. I want to be treated with honor. I want to be treated with respect. Then you put that out there for somebody else. So that, S-O-W, so that
So dignity, so respect, and so love. That's what Luke, whatever in 49, when we always throw it to money, but he says that when you, help me somebody, give, and it shall be given back to you. That's literally talking about love. That's the context. Because a couple verses above that, it tells you, love your neighbor and do good to them and so on and so on. So give love. Yes, you can also use it for finances, but we tend to only use it for finances and not use it for the context in which Jesus said, amen. Give love and it will be given back to you. Give respect and it will be given back to you. Give dignity and it will be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will men give into your bosom love, dignity, and respect. Word of God says he who wants a friend must first show himself friendly. Mm-hmm. This is what's lacking in the body of Christ. It is. Just simple treating folks with dignity and respect. And unfortunately, it's nothing new because you see the church, James, the crew that he had, that was some crew. And there are some churches like that right now. Boy, oh boy. I mean, fighting in the church, pulling out guns in the church. I mean, just crank madness, sheer madness. That sounds like James 4, you quarrel, you fight, because you want stuff. Yeah. It's selfishness and pride is at the root of that, or the root of that. That's not love. Verse 10. Summing it up, if you can put it like that, and I know it's not there, but it's almost like he's saying, summing it up, love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, or as a result of that, love is the fulfillment of the law. It's a law of love. The law of God is a law of love. Look at James chapter 2. As we get back into the book in which we are studying, wherewith we are studying. Verse 8, James chapter 2, verse 8. Still talking about the law, the royal law. If, however, you are fulfilling the royal law, according to the scripture, we found out that the royal law is a law of love, the law of God. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You are doing well. But, contrast in conjunction, if you show partiality, or what we would call today favoritism, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. You've broken the law. That's what favoritism? I mean, come on, man. That's a little much, don't you think? It don't take all that to be holy. God will give you a break, won't it? Run away from people like, run away from them. Or, this is the wrong advice, hit them. Because I hate that compromising attitude. It don't take all that. It ain't that deep. Just a little favoritism. Don't deserve to be up here anyway. All this he's taking. I got my favorite people up here. All y'all can sit back there. That's just, you know, and he talks about, you know, the guy with the messed up clothes come in. He ain't smelling too good. He in the church house, though. Where he ought to get the most respect and love and be treated with dignity. Mm-hmm. You tell a man, sit down there, Bible, let me put my feet up on you. Let you be my footstool. Wow. Where's the royal law of love going on? Right. These things ought not so to be, my brothers and sisters, amongst the body. Let it not be named once among us. So he says here, if you're fulfilling the royal law according to the scripture, which says you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you're doing well. But if you show favoritism, you're committing sin. And it's flat out. I love how it says that. Favoritism is a sin. Mm-hmm. He said, you're committing a sin.
and are convicted by the law as transgressors, you're breaking the royal law, which is the law of love. But you can see that when you show favoritism, you're breaking the royal law, which is the law of love, to be. To show favoritism is not loving. So you're in breach of the law of love. As a matter of fact, we'll end on this. A breach of love is a breach of the law. A breach of love is a breach of the law. When you don't love the person, then you're breaking the law, because it is the law of love. Amen. Father God, thank you for your word today. I thank you that we have heard from heaven on high. Amen. That we need to step up our quote unquote game, our love game. I know they're probably not Christians, at least at the time they made the song, but the Whispers once said, it's a love thing. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. It's a love thing. Help us to step up our game, Father, in loving one another, and then loving those who are without. In other words, help us to step up our game in two ways: to love you more with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And secondly, to step up our game in loving our neighbor as ourself. And to step up in treating others as we want to be treated. Mm-hmm. We thank you, Father, as the Lord Jesus Christ told us in the book of John, the 13th chapter, that by this shall all men know that you are my disciple, my thetes in the Greek, my follower, my pupil, my learner, my student. Why? How are they going to know? What is the driver's license? Or what is the identification card? Or what is the social security card that we are by which we are identified? And that is because we have love one for another. That's our social security card. That's our driver. Show me your ID. Bam. You love. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.